Ever feel like you're just swimming in tech news? It seems like every week there's something new, something groundbreaking.
Oh, absolutely. It's tough to keep track, let alone figure out what actually matters.
Exactly. So today we're grabbing a specific current and diving deep. We're looking at Google's big AI announcements from their recent I/O event 2025.
Yep, we've sifted through the official announcements in a pretty good summary article.
Our mission really is to cut through that noise. We want to pull out the key insights, maybe some surprising bits about what Google's doing with AI in search, creativity, even the infrastructure behind it all.
Right. It's more than just a list of new features. It feels like a fundamental shift in how AI is getting baked into everything Google does.
So we want to give you a clear picture of what this means for, how you use technology day to day without getting totally bogged down in the tech speak.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's start with something huge. Google Search. I mean, we all use it, right? And it sounds like it's changing a lot more than just the look of the results page.
Oh, definitely. This new AI mode they announced, that's a real turning point. It's moving away from being just a list of links
Towards what exactly?
towards something more dynamic,
Yeah.
conversational even. Think about doing research, but instead of just typing keywords, you're having an actual back and forth with Google.
Like a dialogue.
Exactly. Asking follow-up questions, getting information synthesized for you right there.
So if I was trying to figure out how to make, say, kombucha at home,
Right.
I could ask for the basic steps, then ask, wait, what kind of container is best?
Yeah.
And it would know what I was talking about.
Precisely. It remembers the context. And it goes beyond just finding info. The sources mention things like, well, booking tickets directly,
Wow, okay.
or placing online orders, potentially, right from the search results. It's becoming more of an assistant that does things, not just finds things.
Okay, that's a big change. Now, something called deep search also popped up. That sounds intriguing.
Yeah, deep search is interesting. It's designed to help you explore related ideas, sort of tangents that come up during your search.
So, less linear searching?
Kind of. If you start looking for one thing, but something related catches your interest, deep search helps you dive into that without, losing your place or starting a whole new search. More fluid, maybe.
Like following your curiosity down a rabbit hole, but with a guide.
That's a good way to put it. Encouraging a more natural exploration of topics.
Okay, so search is getting more conversational, more exploratory. What about using it out in the real world? Search live sounds visual.
It is. It uses your phone's camera to understand what you're looking at.
Like Google Lens, but maybe more integrated.
Yeah, think of it like having a visual search engine layered over your camera view. The announcements talked about it being a proactive assistant.
Proactive, meaning what?
Meaning it might offer suggestions or information based on what it sees before you even ask, almost anticipating what you might want to know about your surroundings.
That's potentially very cool. Point your phone at a weird bug, get an ID instantly.
Exactly. Or maybe info about a landmark you're looking at.
But okay, the article we read raised a really important point here. If Google's AI is giving you the answer directly,
Yeah.
what happens to the websites that usually provide that answer? The ones relying on clicks from search results.
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? If users get the summary, the direct answer from the AI, they might not click through to the original source.
So less traffic for publishers.
Potentially, yes. It means content creators, publishers, they'll really need to think about how their content offers value beyond just a simple answer the AI can summarize. It's a big shift for that whole ecosystem.
Definitely something to watch. Okay, let's pivot to the brains behind a lot of this. The Gemini AI models, version 2.5 is out, and it sounds like a whole family of models.
That's right. Gemini 2.5 isn't just one thing, it's a suite. You've got Gemini 2.5 Pro, which is the powerhouse.
A heavy lifter.
Yeah. Designed for complex reasoning. Think coding help, advanced math problems, really intricate stuff. That's prose territory.
Got it. And then there's Gemini 2.5 Flash. Sounds fast.
It is. Flash is the lighter, quicker model, much more responsive.
You're better for.
Mobile apps, developer tools, anywhere you need a really fast turnaround. Think of Pro as the supercomputer for deep thinking, and Flash as the zippy engine for, everyday tasks and interactions. Faster, maybe less depth for the absolute hardest problems.
Okay, that makes sense. And Gemini Live, that ties back to the visual stuff, like Search Live.
Exactly. Gemini Live brings that real-time visual understanding into the models themselves. It can interpret what's on your screen or what your camera sees and react to it.
So more context-aware AI.
Precisely. Opens up possibilities for really interactive apps that understand visual input.
And security. With all this power, are they addressing potential misuse?
They highlighted that, yeah. building in better defenses against things like prompt injection, basically, trying to trick the AI.
Right, making it say or do things it shouldn't.
Exactly, and generally preventing misuse. It's crucial when you're rolling out AI this capable. Responsible deployment is key.
Absolutely. Okay, shifting gears again. Video creation, VO3, and Flow. This sounds potentially revolutionary for making videos.
It really does. VO3, which came out of DeepMind, is a generative video model.
Meaning it creates video from scratch.
Yes, from text prompts.
Yeah.
And apparently, it can create really high-quality, cinematic-looking visuals, even with sound, dialogue. The descriptions were quite impressive.
Wow. Just type a golden retriever chasing a ball on a sunny beach at sunset.
And potentially get something that looks pretty close to that, maybe even with background sounds.
And Flow, what's that part?
Flow is the tool, the interface, that makes VO3 easier to use. One source called it a personal AI film studio.
I like that. So it helps you manage the process.
Yeah, simplifying, generating branded videos, short films, that sort of thing. The idea is you wouldn't need deep technical skills in video editing to create something polished.
Democratizing video creation, maybe?
That seems to be the goal. Type an idea, get a video. Pretty wild.
Okay, now for something a bit more meta. AlphaVolve. AI improving itself.
That's the gist of it, yeah. AlphaVolve is described as an AI agent that designs other algorithms.
Right, really?
Uh-huh. It can apparently design and refine algorithms.
Mm.
Right now, they're using it primarily to optimize Google's own stuff.
Like their data centers.
Exactly, making their infrastructure faster, more efficient, saving energy. So AI is optimizing the systems that AI runs on.
That is a bit of a mind bender.
It is. It's a step towards AI becoming more autonomous in managing its own environment. Makes you think about where that could lead long term.
No kidding. Okay. Google's obviously thinking about developers too. Mm. There are APIs, new tools, subscriptions. For someone who isn't a developer, what does the Gemini API mean in practical terms?
Think of an API, the Gemini API in this case, as a set of instructions or tools that let programmers plug Gemini's intelligence into their own apps or services.
So other companies can build things using Gemini.
Exactly. They could build a specialized chatbot for their website or use Gemini's analysis skills within their software. And platforms like Vertex AI and Google AI Studio are like workbenches for these developers, places to build, train, and manage their AI creations using Google's tech.
Right. And then for people or companies who want direct access to the top-tier AI, there are subscriptions, AI Pro and AI Ultra.
Correct. AI Pro seems like the consumer or prosumer tier, around $20 a month, giving access to the advanced Gemini 2.5 models, some extra features.
And Ultra, $250 a month sounds steep.
Yeah, AI Ultra is definitely aimed at businesses or very demanding users. It offers enterprise-grade tools, much more cloud storage, maybe exclusive access to certain models, and they bundle in YouTube Premium too. Different tiers for different needs.
Got it. Image generation also got a boost with Imagen 4.
Yeah, Imagen 4 is focused on creating super realistic, high detail images and stylistically flexible too.
How are they making it available?
They're integrating it into Gemini itself and also into Google Cloud. So useful for product mockups, marketing visuals, content creation in general.
Okay. And then there's Google Beam. This one sounds like science fiction. 3D immersive meetings from normal video.
It does sound futuristic. The idea with Beam is to make virtual meetings feel less flat.
Ow.
By using multiple cameras and some clever real-time processing, it tries to convert those standard video streams into a more three-dimensional environment.
Trying to make it feel more like you're actually in the room together?
That seems to be the goal, yeah. Improving remote collaboration, making virtual events feel more present. Still early days, I imagine, but an interesting direction.
We have covered a lot of ground here. Search, creativity, infrastructure, tools. Our sources also mentioned Google framing all this within a strategic vision, like four main pillars.
They did, yeah. It helps tie it all together. The first pillar they mentioned is agentic AI.
Agentic, meaning?
Moving towards AI that doesn't just respond to commands, but can take actions more autonomously to help you achieve a goal. Think AI as a proactive agent working for you.
Okay, pillar two.
Hyper-personalization. This is about leveraging everything Google knows about you. Your calendar, your searches, your emails, presumably with permission.
Right.
To make the AI incredibly tailored to you, like proactively suggesting flight options because it sees a trip in your calendar and knows your usual airline preference.
Ah, using the ecosystem. Makes sense.
What else? Third is multimodal understanding. We touched on this AI that can understand and connect different types of information simultaneously. Text, images, audio, code. bringing it all together for smarter results.
Like understanding a picture and text describing it.
Exactly. And the fourth pillar is infrastructure AI. That's the AlphaVolve stuff, using AI to optimize the underlying systems, making everything faster, more efficient, more reliable.
Got it. So agentic, personalized, multimodal, and infrastructure. Okay. Now, circling back slightly to Images, Imagen 3, and Gemini 2.0 Flash were also mentioned for image creation.
Yes, more tools in the image generation toolkit. They offer ways to create high-res images from text. And importantly for developers, they're making these available via APIs.
APIs, again, so programmers can build these into other things.
Correct. Using common languages like Python, Java, Go, makes it easier to integrate Google's image AI into other applications.
And it wasn't just creating images, right? There was something about editing existing ones using just words.
That's a really neat feature. The ability to say, you know, remove the person in the background or make the lighting warmer, and have the AI edit the image using natural language.
Without needing Photoshop skills.
Exactly. Lowers the barrier for making quick visual adjustments.
And this is even popping up inside Google Docs now, creating images right in your document.
Yeah, pretty convenient. There's apparently a create an image option in the insert menu.
So you just type a description.
Type a prompt, choose a style like photo, graphic, art, and it generates it for you. It might even suggest images based on what you've written in the doc.
Making it easier to add visuals while you write.
Okay.
Our sources wrapped up with a quick FAQ on Google's AI image stuff. Any key takeaways from that?
Yeah, a couple things. One was comparing it to competitors. Google seems strong on realism and fitting into its ecosystem.
But maybe less control for niche artistic styles?
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Other platforms might offer finer tuning there. Also, it confirmed there's no standalone Google Image AI app right now. You access it via browsers through things like AI Studio or Test Kitchen.
Okay.
And it reiterated that, yes, you can edit existing images with text prompts, and it supports a wide range of styles, photorealistic, abstract, anime, concept art, and so on.
Well, this has definitely been a comprehensive look. It's really clear that AI isn't just a feature anymore for Google. It's becoming woven into the very fabric of almost everything they do.
Absolutely. From how we find information to how we create things, even how their own systems run. Mm-hmm. It's a huge push.
The pace is just incredible, isn't it? This 2025 I/O really feels like it signals a major evolution.
Agreed. It's going to change how we interact with technology quite significantly, I think.
So a final thought for you listening. As you process all this, the smarter search, AI making videos, AI optimizing itself, those 3D meetings, which of these advancements feels like it could have the biggest impact on your work or just your daily life?
Yeah, it's a lot to chew on.
It really is. And it feels like this is just the beginning of this next wave, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely lots more to keep an eye on.